It's wonderful to be with you here today. I'm Steve, my wife Sarah here, and we're from Croxley Green Baptist Church, but only just because we moved to Croxley Green 3 months ago. So we're just settling in to a new home and a new community and a new church. But I bring today greetings from Croxley Green Baptist Church in this pulpit swap Sunday where we're all moving around, so that Rachel is elsewhere today as well, and we're here with you. I always love getting along to another church family because I recognise family as that wonderful experience of meeting people, saying hi, and quickly remembering that we are kin, brother, sister, mother, daughter, that kingdom kinship that's there. And it does our hearts good, doesn't it? There's something that, rings within us. This is part of my family. This is part of God's family. I belong to you and you belong to me. And I may have a gift today to bring to you, and you may have a gift to give to me as the Holy Spirit does his work in us. Wonderful prayer of Paul just read to us. We're going to spend a little bit of time today just thinking about what's there. Now, I've got a little PowerPoint image. There it is. There's the title of this little talk, which is Love, Actually. And I wonder if you could just, Simon, isn't it, and Joel, just move along to that next image. And I've been thinking lately, or remembering, to my school days, which are a long time ago now. And just remembering something about school, and particularly at the time when exams or tests were given, there was something called a comprehension test. How many of you remember comprehension tests? Just give me a yeah. And I think they still happen in schools today. The idea of a comprehension test is you are given something to read through, maybe a short story or a letter or something. And then there were some questions which were to test your comprehension, meaning, do you understand what you've read? Did you get it? Did you get what was there? We've got lots of expressions in the English language, and I'm sure in many languages in the world, that say the same thing, really. Do you know the one about the penny dropping? The penny dropped, which means I got it, I grasped it, I understood. I wonder if you just move us along, Joel. Thank you. And of course, this isn't just for English papers, comprehension tests. In everyday conversation, there is this matter of grasping or understanding what another person is saying or meaning. Good listening serves us well here, doesn't it? You know, you can listen well and you can listen poorly. Have you ever been in conversation with someone and you're speaking, but just get that impression that the person's not really listening? Sometimes one person's kind of trying to work out what they're going to say back to you, and so not really taking in what you're saying. One more slide. There are times perhaps in life when we really don't know what's going on. Our comprehension, our grasp of things can feel limited. Just move one more slide along. Thank you. Paul wants his readers to grasp something, to understand something deep within them, something so vital to their life as a Christian community. Now, we're going to work to it slowly. What is it, I wonder? You probably know the answer already, but bear with me. Does Paul want his readers to grasp Christian doctrine, to have an understanding of how God has saved them? Well, he clearly does, because he spends quite a bit of this letter actually setting out how God has saved us and brought us home to himself through Christ. But is this what Paul is praying for? Does he want them to be able to articulate the doctrine of atonement, of incarnation, or of end things? Does Paul want this Christian community to have a real grasp of how Christ's return will unfold and all that will happen? Or does he perhaps want this Christian community to have such a knowledge of the scriptures that they're able to answer any difficult question that might come to them? Have you ever been in a situation where you felt inadequate to share your faith, what you believe, with someone else? Maybe there are questions that you don't really know how to answer. Does Paul want these Christian believers to be experts, to have the ready answer to any question that might come their way? Is that how we should be in the world as witnesses, experts in Christian theology? I'm not sure how helpful that is, actually. It seems to me, and I've thought about this over the years, that what's most needed when somebody meets me as a follower of Jesus is that they see someone who has an everyday faith that means something in everyday life. They're not looking for an expert to answer all the questions. And it's actually okay if I say, do you know what? I'm not really sure how to answer that, but I'll have a think about it and maybe we can have another chat sometime. That often goes down really well, because in truth, all of us are trying to work stuff out, aren't we? Aren't you trying to work out life and what it means to live for Jesus in your everyday? And it seems to me that that's a much better thing to bring. But in any case, that doesn't seem to be what Paul has in mind here. What is it that Paul wants this community to grasp, to understand? Well, let's come to the prayer and let's work towards it. It's a brilliant prayer. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. So this is where Paul's prayer begins. Here. Every morning I do exercises, or most mornings, and I work through a routine. I put one side of an LP on, vinyl, you know, really retro. While that half, I go through these various movements. And my last movement, right at the very end, after some stretches in different directions, is this. When I get there, just recently, I've been remembering Paul's prayer. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. This is an earnest prayer of Paul. I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Whoa! Paul prays to the Father of all. The Father of every family, every church community, every race, every people group, Father of all. It's a kind of big prayer with lots of scope, isn't it? Praying kind of with eyes wide open, looking around. I love it when Christians pray together. And if the kind of Anglican style is followed, we're now going to pray for people known to us, for the church, and for the world. And I often kind of laugh to myself slightly at just the scope of that, you know, almost prayers that are intimate and detailed of somebody I know who's anxious, someone who's taking an exam, someone who's got a medical appointment, and praying for the fine detail of the life of my community because God really cares. But then my prayers can move to the next neighborhood, to another church community, can move to what's going on in the nation, across the world. It's kind of dizzying sometimes, isn't it? We're moving from someone's medical appointment to the political scene in our own country or in America. But it isn't dizzying to God, but God, the Father of every family on earth and in heaven, kind of receives those prayers. It's a big, big prayer. I pray, says Paul, that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, be patient. We're getting to the what is it Paul wants us to grasp. But just note here the role of the Holy Spirit. I believe you've been traveling with thoughts about the Holy Spirit, sermons about the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of this community and in the world. And we see here clearly that Paul sees the power of the Spirit at work in us, in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It's a beautiful thought, a beautiful reality, that because of Jesus' death and resurrection, ascension, because of Jesus, we're brought in to this communion, this intimate communion with God our Father, Christ dwelling in us, us dwelling in him. Jesus gave a beautiful image of that to his disciples, didn't he? Of the vine, that the vine where he is the vine and we are the branches. That kind of dwelling, indwelling, abiding. It's a beautiful thing. And it's the gift of the Spirit. It's the work of the Spirit to help us in our abiding. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, now we're coming to it, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Here's the vital thing. Here's the crucial understanding, that you and I and we together might grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Now, when I was reading these words recently, I suddenly had this mental image of Paul leading a holiday club. It seemed to me that we're suddenly into the business of an action song. Imagine the Apostle Paul, who was a very bright guy, wasn't he? He had a way of unpacking theology, which sometimes bewilders even the keenest mind. But suddenly, Paul is waving his arms around. How wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love. Here's the crucial understanding. Here's what Paul wants us to comprehend, to grasp the love of Christ. For out of that understanding, of that knowledge and experience, flows mission. Flows all that we might do in Jesus' name. I thought that we might just venture into the action song, as I put it here, just a tiny bit. So I want you to do this with me. Come with me on this, because sometimes we can get very kind of wordy and intellectual, and sometimes we need to get ourselves more fully involved in the truth that we're learning together. So I wonder if you do this with me, just where you sat, don't have to stand. Paul wants the community he writes to grasp, maybe we could use this, To grasp. Would you do that with me? To grasp. How wide. How long. How high. How deep. And then I think we're going to go for that little emoji. It's the love of Christ. Now there's a sign for Jesus, which is this. Can anybody tell me why that would be a sign for Jesus? You can shout out. The nail prints in his hands. So in sign language, that can mean Jesus. So we can talk about the love of Jesus. Paul wants us to, come with me, grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. That's the vital insight. That's the thing to grasp, not to be an expert. Good to know the scriptures, good to understand, but most of all, this is Paul's prayer. I wonder how it's going for you. How's it going? Grasping the love that has taken hold of you. Just a little story about my own experience. When I was 21, that's a long time ago, I went on a pilgrimage to Taizé in France, in the south of France. That's a Catholic kind of retreat. Lots of young people there, and I was young then. I felt a little bit out of place for a while, if I'm honest. I come from a Pentecostal tradition. That was my kind of background, where I became a Christian and was nurtured. And this was a very different kind of spiritual environment, you might say. But I remember when I arrived at the little welcome tent and sat down, I was given a card with a greeting on it. And it said, "You have come to Taizé, perhaps to find the meaning of your life." "The meaning of your life is this," said the little greeting confidently. "You are loved forever. You are loved forever." And I remember when I read it, first of all, I thought, well, that's true, of course. I know that's true. But there was some resistance in me too, to the idea that God just loved me. Because in my Christian experience up to that point, sometimes it had seemed to me that God was somehow on my back, a bit judgmental. I'm just going to use this stick. Kind of, you know, looking for me to measure up to what he wanted of my life. Yes, I'd heard lots of sermons that God just loved me, that unconditional love of God. But somehow, I wasn't convinced. Somehow my image of God was sterner than that. That I kept trying to do things and say things that would please him, but I was never going to be good enough. Now, I'm probably not the only one in the room who's had those kind of thoughts and feelings. What I remember happening next was that God's love swept in and overwhelmed me. Not there in that moment, but a day or so afterwards, when I was in a service of worship, and I don't know if you know the Taizé songs, very simple chants that I said over and over and over again. And because it was a very international setting, was said in lots of different languages. And I remember just being in this service. It was all a bit alien still, remember, from a Pentecostal church background. It felt strange in some ways, but just right in the middle of a time of simple worship, my heart was filled with a sense of God just loving me. Loving me because I needed to be loved. Loving me because only love would free me to be a son of God, called and chosen and sent to make God's love known to others. And it was the most beautiful moment that changed my journey as I continued to seek to follow Jesus from there. Now, I just mentioned that, and that's a very personal, very unique experience of mine. But I wonder where in your Christian journey something like that has happened, where God has revealed his love to you, loving you because you need to be loved. It seems to me that it doesn't happen in the same way for everyone. It might be at a time of ministry at the front of a church being prayed for that some deeper sense of God's love is given. But it might be just out for a walk. It might be in the middle of a really difficult situation where you're praying for help or for provision. There's so many different ways, and I've never wanted to kind of bring some formula that everybody needs to follow, because it seems to me that God's relationship with each of us is unique, just as we are each unique. But one of the things I'd like to encourage you to do going from here today is just to have a little conversation with God at some point in the day or later in the week about this whole business of just knowing that we are loved. Because Paul sees it as crucial that we should grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep. I was chatting to my wife and she gave some wisdom to this, and she often does. It's always a good move to share my sermon with Sarah, because she'll sort me out. So you don't need that. And yep, that's good. And that's going on too long and so on. And it's really great. But one thing she said is, you do need to remember, Steve, that this is a process, a journey, coming to understand the love that has taken hold of us, that has come to us in Christ. It's a whole journey. It's a whole process. There will be points along the way where we deepen and deepen again. But let's be open to that and maybe drop into that little conversation with God. The love of God, grasping how wide, how long, how high, how deep. The work of the Spirit, remember, for the Spirit empowers us to know that we are loved, and that changes everything. Now, it's not just within ourselves that we comprehend that love, but within our community of Jesus followers. There's another slide. You could just there you are. I want, just for a few moments remaining, just to think about this. That it's as a community together that we are grasping the love that transforms our lives and our living. And it's the usual things that help us. Near the beginning of the book of Acts, chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, you might recall, as well as the flames of fire and the mighty rushing wind, that there's a community is formed. One of the outcomes of the Spirit being given is the creation of a community. And maybe you'll remember that this little community in Acts chapter 2 towards the end is doing four things. Devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, and we can think there about the scriptures that are given to us. To prayer. To fellowship. To the breaking of bread. Those four staples of a Christian community, which we just keep doing, don't we? Because they don't somehow reach a sell-by date. There's all kinds of new things that might come to us and good things, but to know the scriptures, to pray, fellowship, communion. We keep doing these things because they kind of open God's love to us, then the means by which we grow into a community that knows the love of God and lives that love, so that the relationships between us actually reveal God's love in the world. So part of the answer to Paul's prayer is what happens right there within us, but part of it is what happens here in our life together. We have a little kind of ministry at Chorleywood? No, that's up the road. Croxley Green, where on a Thursday morning, there's a cafe where people come in and often are referred by doctors and others to come to a place where there is an unconditional acceptance, a kind of a time together where there's no us and them, we're the Christians and we're ministering to you, but actually people together working stuff out. And it's such a good environment. I was talking to one of the guys who come along, and he was telling me a little bit about his life and some losses in his life, how his doctor had said to come along to the Renew Cafe. He said, "Do you know what? I've never known such love. I've never known such friendship. I've never known such kindness." He said, "Mind you, I don't really come to church very often. This has nothing to do with God, with respect," he says. "This has nothing to do with God and belief. But here I've known such kindness." And we had a lovely conversation in which I gently said to him, "You know, you said it's nothing to do with God, but do you know what? I think it's everything to do with God and what the people of this community believe. This is the fruit of what they believe." So love, realized, comprehended in the way we are together. And I love the diversity, don't you, of God's family. When young and old, different races, different ethnic groups, actually know that they are kin together. It's powerful. It's powerful that a church, a local church, is perhaps one of the few places in the world where we see that much diversity and the love that grows and flows between us. But of course, it's got to get out too, hasn't it? Not just within the gathered church community, but when we are scattered, then that love also needs to be grasped and understood. Just a little story, and I'm really close to the end now. I was in London with my son, Brendan, and he's just taking on a flat. He's living with us at the moment, and he's going to be taking up a flat and living there. And we were in the neighbourhood, and we went to a local market. It's in Farringdon, actually, and there's a lovely kind of street market, lots of street food, and we were wandering down. We were both hungry, so we thought we'd get a meal. As I was walking along with Brendan, there was a guy sitting on the pavement with a sign in front of him that said, "I am hungry, God bless." And what I noticed was that everybody was walking past him, including Brendan and myself. So I'm not kind of putting myself up there in any way here. And but we got our lunch and ate it. And I kept thinking about this guy. I couldn't see him, but I knew he was over the other side of a kind of a stall. And we had our lunch, we had our fill, and walked on. And I said to Brendan, "Do you know what? I just think I need to offer this guy some lunch." So went and saw him and spoke to him. We had a bit of a conversation. And it kind of turned out that he didn't need a meal right there and then. He was hopeful for some money, and he made this symbol. He didn't have a lot of English. And I said, "I'm sorry, I don't have any money, but I can get you a meal." And so I walked away, and then he called me back and said, "Coffee," he said. "Coffee, white, 4 sugars. And so I said, "Right, you're on." So I went into a coffee shop, and I ordered myself a latte. Brendan doesn't drink coffee. And I said, "Could you also give me a coffee with 4 sugars? And I said, "It's for the gentleman that's just outside there." And the lady in the shop, she said, she made the coffee. She said, "I'm not going to charge you for this, the coffee for the man outside." I said, You can. And she said, "No, I don't want to." And there was something in that moment for me about what it looks like when love gets out outside of our community, when we're walking about in our everyday interactions, we can comprehend what love is in the giving of a cup of coffee. And there's that lovely sense, I've been reflecting a lot on this, how love, when it moves to action, is infectious. Have you ever noticed that? Love is infectious. And so my tentative act of love, and I'm not kind of blowing my trumpet here, because I've plenty of times I've walked past and I've not made any kind of response. But there was something about the way the lady responded in the shop and got in on the act of love. And that's a little key, I think, to mission. We sometimes think mission is a bit too big for us to handle, but it is simply about letting love happen, get into action. The church has left the building and is out there loving and seeing how love becomes infectious. I think I want to draw to a close just with the last part of the prayer. May we have power together with all the Lord's holy people. All of us together to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. It's quite an interesting phrase, that, isn't it? To know something that you can't know. To know something that is beyond knowing. Isn't that interesting? And then later, as the prayer is brought to a close, the God who is able to do immeasurably more. We can't measure what God is doing. I brought my meter rule and used it a moment ago to be a stern kind of image. But I could have a go at measuring how high and wide and long, and it's no good, is it? This is a very inadequate tool. But actually, there's no way we can really do what Paul prays for, not fully. And yet Paul prays for it. He wants us to, if you like, go for the impossible in a way, but reminds us that ultimately we won't be able to measure or contain all that God has done and will do. But God wants us to be involved in the business of love, to know the love within us, among us, and through us in the world. And that, simply put, I hope, is the business of the kingdom. Let's take a moment just to pray, and perhaps to be still for a moment. I'm going to pray Paul's words, or some of them, to bring this message to a close. But I want to encourage you just in this moment to let your heart pray, maybe without words, to move towards God in a few quiet moments. Perhaps to say, Lord, I want to know. I want to grasp the love you have for me, for your church and for the world. Let your heart pray a moment. Be open to the Holy Spirit to gently move among us. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.